Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh.
Jacksonville, Florida. And here at
broadcast, God will get all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praises. For the word of God proclaimed, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. And I want you to know today that you have tuned in at the right time to be able to hear the word of God. Women of God that God have called for such a time as this to be able to bring you illumination through the word of God, to give you insight, to give you the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of what God has given me, to give you clarity through the word of God. I want you to know that you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Breakthrough broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And whatever you may be doing at this time, we're going to ask you to reverence the Most High God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. God, we lift your name up high. God, we give you all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. God, today we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being our high tower. Thank you for being our deliverer. Thank you, God, for one that we can call on, one that we can trust. God, one, Father God, that we can have confidence in. Thank you right now, Lord God. Thank you for your people. God, those that out in radio land. Lord, we ask you today, God, to meet every need. Asking God to give them, Father God, whatever they need on the day, whether God is spiritually, visibly, or financially. God, move on their behalf. Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, we thank you, God, for the breakthrough panelists, Lord God, that you have given, God. We thank you for the women of God that are proclaiming a noun word, a rhema word, a logos word, God. God, that your people, God, will be healed and that they will be delivered. Lord, we ask you, God, to bless them, God, even now. And for this, God, we will forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Breakthrough broadcast, and we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We want you to know, introduce to you today and let you know the women of God today that God is using every Saturday at this same time to bring forth and proclaim his word. First of all, we would like to introduce to you Miss Helen Cooper, Pastor Gladys Sampson, Pastor Mary Wilson, Pastor Francina Shea. Evangelist Geraldine Spencer is also on our broadcast, but she will not be with us today. But we just want you to know that the word of God will come forth. And, of course, I am the host of the hour, host of Breakthrough Broadcast, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Our topic of the day will be coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Our topic is God's promise of a righteous branch. And that scripture text is coming from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, 1st through the 6th verse, and that 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, the 14th chapter, and the 18th verse. Here is our key verse today. It is, "Behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." We are talking about the justice of God. We're talking about how God is sent that righteous bread. God promised. We thank God for the word of God today. We're excited about what God is about to to do, and I know that you're excited with us as well. So we're going to let you know today that as the women of God, if they come to you, I want you to get excited about it. I want you to get this word in your heart and in your mind and your spirit that God can speak to you, that you can hear what thus says the word of God. Our first topic is going to be coming from Ms. Helen Hooper, and she's going to be talking about God's care for the flock of Israel. And that under topic will be a condemnation of unfaithful shepherds. And also, she's going to talk about a promise to gather the flock. At this time, we'd like to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, Ms. Helen Hooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and hello to all our listeners. God bless you. And to our Breakthrough family, welcome to the broadcast today. And I will be coming from Jeremiah chapter 23. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. And like Dr. McCoy said, the first topic will be a condemnation of an unfaithful shepherd. And that is Jeremiah 23, 1 and 2. And the word of God says, "Woe be unto pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus said the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." Verse 3, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries, whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Verse 4 says, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." And we see here in verse 23 of Jeremiah 23, well, God sent Jeremiah to, really, it's a warning to the pastors that had been doing what they just wanted to do. Like we see sometimes today, we see pastors have their own agenda. Well, God had given an agenda here for them to follow him, for to keep his commandments, and to do what he would have them to do. But these pastors had gone their own way. They were doing their own thing. They had scattered God's flock, meaning that they started worshiping idol gods and doing things that they weren't supposed to do, and that way they scattered the flock. People started leaving, going to other places, and they started leaving the word of God. Some of them have turned to idol gods, because if the head is out of order, then everything is out of order. Sometimes when we have headaches or whatever, sometimes I cannot function when I have a headache very well. So when something is going on in my head, my whole body follows suit. So when the head is out of order, that means our pastors, our ministers, whoever God has applied to our hands, whoever God has set over that set house, the body gets out of order. And here we see God is speaking to them. Jeremiah is telling them, woe unto them, that God is going to visit them. God is going to give them their just due, because they have scattered his flock and they have sent them in different directions. But we see in verse 2, he said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord against the pastors, you're not feeding my people. You're not even doing what I would have you to do. If I haven't applied these, I applied these people to your hands. You're not doing what you're supposed to do with them. You're not feeding them. You're not giving them their word. You're not giving them the roadmap to follow me. This is all about him." And sometimes we can get in a hurry, as some pastors do, they go on their own thing. You know, God might be telling them to do something else, and they go over here and do something totally different, and that gets everything off balance and out of order. God is an order God. He's a God of excellence. So if he has applied something to your hands, if he has applied a people to your hand, we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be listening and doing what God would have us to do. It's not about us. It is about God's people. It is about building the kingdom. So we can't go off running and doing what we need to do and doing what we think is right. We're supposed to be following God. And here we see in chapter 23 in verses 1 through 4 where God is saying he's going to give them their just due. He's going to give them their reward for scattering his flock. Because as we know, we see down here in verse 3, he said, "I will gather a remnant," meaning he's going to gather He's gonna regather his people. That's what he's saying, for a promise to regather the flock in Jeremiah 3 and 4. He's gonna start going to those places, those farm places that the flock had left and gone to different places and gone to different regions, and he's gonna start rebuilding and bringing them back to their flock and bringing them back to their fold, meaning bringing them back to him. He's gonna put preachers, he's gonna put people over them in charge of them that is gonna do his will, that are going to listen to him, that are going to bring that people back where they're supposed to be, because we're talking about Judah here. And as we know, the tribe of Judah is where kings come through. And as we know, our Lord Jesus Christ had to come through that tribe. So in the tribe of Judah, if we have kings coming through there, we had to get that in order. He had to get that in order. And his word cannot fail. Over in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, it said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And see, over here in chapter 23, he is still saying that. His word is true. It will not come back to him void. That's what his word says. So we see here where he is trying to realign Judah. He's trying to reestablish. He's going to bring back Israel. Israel is going to be a glorious nation. It had to be, because our Lord Jesus Christ had to come down that line. We call him the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah. That's what he is. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. That is where kings came through. That tribe is where kings came down. So he had to reestablish his people. He had to reestablish Judah and bring it back to its rightful place. And here in verse 4, it said, I will set shepherds over them who shall feed them, and who shall fear no more. They shall fear no more. So he's gonna redo everything. He's gonna put those people in place that he know and that he trusts and that has a heart for him to lead his people in the right direction, to get them in order, to set this thing on the scene so the Lord Jesus Christ could come on the scene. Because right now, if everything being out of order the way it is here in chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, he would not have been allowed to come, because they were all out of order. They were all everywhere. They were scattered everywhere. So he is bringing back a remnant. And a remnant means he's going to bring back the small part. He's going to bring back the fragments of people. He's going to bring them back to reestablish Judah, to reestablish Israel, so he can get Jesus Christ on the scene. He had to come. The word said he was coming, so he had to come. So everything had to be set in order. And here we see Jeremiah telling them that. Well, this is what God says. Woe unto those pastors that have scattered my flock. And we see some pastors do that today. They have their own agenda. I've seen pastors do things that can't be of God, but they still go right ahead with it. And when it fails, and then everybody wants to come back to God. But we should be looking to him first. We should be listening. We should be letting him lead and guide us, because if without his leadership, we can do nothing. Anything that is done without God will fail. So here we see He's trying to bring everything back in order and back in line, because the Lion of Judah had to come. So he had to get everything back in order. So we see here in verse 4 where he said he's going to go get those remnants, go get those fragments of his people and bring them back to their fold. So his word, like he said, will not come back to him void. It will do exactly what he sent it out to do. It will accomplish what he sent it out to do. So here we see him starting to do that. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper. We thank God, praise God, for God giving Ms. Hooper what he will have you to understand, and giving you revelation knowledge as to what he is saying in Jeremiah 23rd chapter 1 through that 6th verse. I thank God for the insight that God had given her, because of the fact that the Bible says now, every knee gonna bow and every tongue will confess before him. It does not matter who we are or what position that we hold, whether or not we're the deacon, whether we are the elder, whether we're the pastor, whether we're the superintendent, whether we're the President of the United States of America, it does not matter. Every knee going to bow. But we are here talking about what God is saying in this word of God from Jeremiah 23rd chapter. It is saying, woe to the pastor that destroy and scatter the flock, scatter the sheep of my pastor, says the Lord. And when we look at woe, when I began to look at it, that word, it let you know that you got to pay attention. It's like I'm getting ready to send warning, deep distress, of misery, grief, and a wretchable God, things and misfortune and calamity, what you need to pay attention to what I am, what I'm going to do. It's not, it says, woe. And we have to pay attention to what God is saying there in that chapter, what Ms. Cooper was saying. And God is speaking to his men and his women of God, those that God has called, those that God has ordained, God, those that he has appointed, God, those that he has trusted in to do a work for him. And I thought about Elijah, I thought about Eli, and I thought about the work that God had given him and being that priest, being in that temple, but even his relationship with his son that he was to rule over. And then I'm thinking about as the pastor of as being the sheep, a pastor that has sheep has to be very careful how they lead God and direct their the sheep of the pastor, because it is, when we look at this, it is telling us to, he is really speaking to the pastor, because we got, I would like to make this plain, that we have great pastors, we have good pastors, we have men and women that God has called, that they are preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising word, they are standing on the word, they are leading the flock, they are not causing division, they are not getting out of the way. But to those pastors that are negligible, those people that are not doing, those shepherds that are scattering the sheep of the flock. See, this is who God is speaking to today. So therefore, God has put his trust in the pastor concerning. He has given them a charge. He committed the sheep unto him. So he is saying, woe to the pastor, that those that are ruling, you know, not only in the church, yes, in the church, but also in the state, those who have been set over as to lead and to feed and protect and to take care of his people, like David. Think about how David, before he even was known, how he cared for the sheep and how he went to get even one was lost. He went in order to get that sheep that was lost. So the love of God is as being a shepherd, as being a pastor, and it extended. You're those people that are in a position, those precious people that are in that position as being a pastor, God has put precious people in their hand. So God is, he is concerned about his people. That is why Ms. Cooper can say what she said about in that 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, because it let us know when I was studying this, it looked as the word of God saying, and in further study, it showed that the pastor is the one, is not the owner of the sheep per se, because Christ is the shepherd. He is the shepherd, and he has put the sheep into the pastor hands in order to lead the guy and to direct them. And I say again that there are some great pastors. We have good pastors that even on this broadcast that the word of God is living and abiding in, and they have sheep that God has entrusted them in. But for those that have not, the ones that God have called to take care of those sheep, the one that God have called, and they are not, and they are scattering the sheep because their light is not shining. They're not speaking forth the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. They're not walking in love. They're not kind. They are not obedient. They're restless in their walk with God. They forgot about that God, he is God and God all by himself, and that he is that great shepherd. Those other pastors, those are the ones that we're talking about on today. But we're going to get further into this word of God, and we thank you today for just tuning in. The word of God is coming from Jeremiah 23rd chapter, the first to the sixth verse if you're following us, and also that 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, 14th chapter, the 14th verse through the 18th verse. And we're getting ready to move further, getting ready to, for God to give us even some more in the Word of God. We're getting ready to talk about a promise of a righteous king, which is coming from Jeremiah 23rd chapter, 5th through the 6th verse. We would like to welcome Pastor Francina Shanks to the Breakthrough broadcast. Pastor Shanks.
Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I'm coming on, from Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. And here the prophet Jeremiah is speaking what God has given him. He says in the 5th verse, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, verse 6, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Going back to verse 5, here the Lord revealed to Jeremiah that he was going to raise unto David a righteous branch, and it was talking about Jesus. This was talking about the Messiah. In the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua, that he was going to reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, because God had told David that he was going to raise up a righteous king unto him. And so David was part of the royal family, and Jesus came down through that line. Joseph was of that royal family, Joseph that married Mary. And so here, that's what the Lord was telling Jeremiah. God was getting everything in order and was letting Jeremiah tell this to the people of Israel, because Israel had sinned against the Lord. And so in verse 6, the Lord was revealing to Jeremiah, say, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Well, God was getting everything in order. This is another name Jesus is called, the Lord our righteousness. He's also called the righteous branch. And so God was getting everything set up in order so that when Jesus would be born, it would fulfill this prophecy. And so even today, God is getting his people in that place. When Jesus came, it ushered in a new covenant. It ushered in something new, because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Here the children of Israel, they had gotten the word of God through Moses, and they couldn't even keep the word. They strayed away from God. They began to wound God's people, his sheep. And that's why God was talking to those pastors during that time, and he's talking to them today. And Jesus is coming back again, but he's also ruling now. He has some pastors that are doing what he say. Also, he has some that are not doing what he say and wounding people. But here he's setting up, telling Jeremiah how Jesus was going to come and how he was going to reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in the earth. And the Lord is doing that even today. He's executing judgment and justice in the earth, because he's saying to his people even today, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land." Praise God. And here he's talking in verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved." The remnant of Israel, they're already, they started migrating back to the Holy Land after World War II to reestablish the nation of Israel. And so many Jews now know that Jesus is the Messiah. And so they're turning to him now, and God is moving. And they know now that he is the Lord our righteousness, that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Lord, our righteousness that the Lord has established. And the Bible says that there is no end to his kingdom. His kingdom shall never end. And that he shall rule with a rod of iron and justice and peace and judgment and love and grace. It has come through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so his people today, we got to know that the Lord is looking for a people that will obey. And so I want to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks, for sharing with us on today. And Pastor Shanks talked about a promise of a righteous king. And I thank God that God, he is that God. He is our God. He is the Messiah. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And I thank God that, you know, it's so wonderful that when God can trust us, when God can give us things that he will have for his people, it's just like if God tells us to give a person the word of God from a certain scripture, whether the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's so good that we won't go and we won't preach what we want to preach. We won't say what God hasn't given us to say. But God is looking for men and women today that will live according, not according to our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. God looking for holy and women of God, holy men of God that will live according to the word of God. For the word of God says, be ye holy, but I am holy. So therefore, if we are living holy according to the word of God, then we will be good pastors. We will be good leaders. We will say what does says the word of God. And even as the word of God let us know, there are pastors that have driven the flock away, whatever they did it by oppressing, depressing the people of God, whether they put in weight on them or whatever it may have been, whether or not they didn't take the time. But then God is looking for a pastor with compassion that will also speak forth the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. And sometimes the word of God has become strong, and sometimes God will give us word in due season in order to speak to the people and the with that compassion. But even as he spoke to the people in order to get them in the error of their way, there was a way that he did it, but he did it with a pastor's heart. And I just believe that pastors, true pastors of God, they know how to feed the flock. They know how to give that nourishment to the flock. They know how to love on that flock. They know how to visit and to have the people that's in the different positions in the church to go about to see those that are not, have not been in the church. So it is God's will that we do visit those that God has given us. We don't see them. Yes, it is God's will that we do things in order to keep the flock. It's just like a child. You know, we have children some of us have children and have children in our lives, and those children, they weren't always obedient. They didn't always do those things that are right in our sight, but yet we still love those children, and we had compassion on them. When they went astray or when they did something, we didn't leave them, we didn't forsake them, but we were there for them. So therefore, what I'm saying today, that God has given many pastors his heart, that they have the heart of the people, and they when they will be there for the people that he has given them, because they're going to preach the word, they're going to teach the word, they're going to live the word, they're going to be example to the unbeliever. So I thank God for being example to and for him. I thank God that he will show us and have shown us how to be righteous in our lives and our way of living. The word of God says, let your light so shine before men that others would see our footwork and to glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that others would see your good work and to glorify the Father which is in heaven. So we have to be an example to the unbeliever. As I brought up before, even as Eli's son, they was not good example to the believers. They wasn't good example to the unbelievers. And there are people that we can sight and see today that was not and is not good example. But yet we pray for them. We pray for those that are not in order. We pray that God would strengthen them, that God would keep them. And I believe that the church of God need to pray and not to bash, but to pray for them and to keep them, that they can be the pastors, they can be the elders, that they can be the people that God will have them to be. I don't know about you, but I am excited about the word of God. I thank God for loving me so much, for loving you so much, that he would teach us, that he would lead us, he would guide us, he would show us what we need to know in a day and a time that we are living in. At this time, we're getting ready to talk about God's preservation of the life of Israel. And we're getting ready to bring to the forefront Pastor Gladys Sampson. She is going to be able to talk to you and tell you what thus says the Lord on today. Pastor Gladys Sampson.
Good evening, Dr. McCoy, and to all of the Breakthrough family today. We thank God again for what our ears have heard and for the word of God that has been spoken. And so I thank God, amen, because from this particular chapter 33, and from 14 through 18, here we find the word of God being performed concerning talking about the restoration of God's people. And 14, verse 14 reads like this: Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. As I said earlier, that this from the book of Jeremiah, his 33rd chapter, he talked about gathering the people from all countries once again unto God. Jeremiah, praise God, because he said he had told Jeremiah that the people would be restored to the land and to a right relationship with him. And so in looking at this, he talked about not only that, but he talked about from Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 26, talked about the second time. Praise God. The chapter speaks again of Israel and Judah's restoration to peace, prosperity, and spiritual wholeness. Jeremiah's prophecy goes beyond to return all the exiles from Babylon. He foresees the days when Jesus, the Messiah, will establish his kingdom on earth. And so when we look at this, praise God, he's talking about, hallelujah, the second time around when, praise God, when Jesus himself, the Messiah, praise God, because he was that branch of righteousness, praise God, he was referred to as that branch of righteousness, which was going to come forth, amen, praise God, to fulfill the prophecy that occurred at his first coming on earth. And so as he was doing this, he said, through his death and resurrection, he became king of all of God's people on earth. And so because of that reason, the fulfillment, praise God, hallelujah, occur when he returns a second time to execute judgment and righteousness. And so when he comes back, amen, he's going to be the one, amen, that's going to be, praise God, on the throne, hallelujah, concerning the house of Israel. Praise God, the priests and the Levites, Jeremiah talked about that force that was foreseeing eternal priesthood. They was looking beyond where they was and concerning all the priests that had been in the land of Israel, praise God. They was looking to a priest that would reign forever and ever. And so he talked about, praise God, a state of restoration. And, you know, praise God, even today, praise God, I believe that through all, praise God, that even us as the spiritual Israel that are going through at this present time, praise God, I believe that, praise God, hallelujah, there's going to be a place of restoration for the people of God. There's going to be a place, hallelujah, because that branch of righteousness, who is Jesus Christ, our King, amen, hallelujah, is going to, praise God, come and restore, praise God, hallelujah, the voice of joy, praise God, and the voice of gladness among the people of God. Praise God, if they would continue, praise God, to seek the Lord with all of their heart and seek his face and turn, amen, from their way unto the way of righteousness, then they will find themselves, praise God, walking in a place of peace. He talked about, praise God, a restoration of, praise God, of peace and prosperity and spiritual wholeness, amen. Glory to God. We won't be walking around, praise God, amen, with a place of drought and a place of desolation in our spirit, in our lives, amen. Praise God. But God promised to restore us, hallelujah. Praise God, in the spirit of peace, hallelujah, and a place of wholeness, amen. We want to be, praise God, hallelujah, whole in the Lord. We don't want to be, praise God, standing, praise God, with our hearts and our hands lifted up before God, and yet within our spirits we are not fulfilled according to his word. And so I thank God today, amen, for this place of restoration that God has prepared for us through Jesus Christ, because he is that righteous one. He is, praise God, the Son of the living God. He is the one, praise God, that's going to bring about a peace, praise God, in this world, hallelujah, as man has never known before and never will know again. Praise God, hallelujah, because he is, hallelujah, praise God, the Prince of Peace, amen. He is, praise God, that lily of the valley, that bright in the morning star. Glory to God. He's the one, praise God. He said this promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who as a priest forever is able to save them to the uttermost that come, hallelujah, unto God by him. Praise God. And he told us there was no other way to come to the Father but by him. Praise God. He is, hallelujah, that one that's going to, praise God, do mighty things, that's going to do great and mighty things concerning the people of God, who's going to restore unto us, glory to God, that righteousness, that peace, hallelujah, that we so longed for, amen, that when our souls were thirsty, praise God, our spirit longed, praise God, to feel complete in God, amen. Praise God, seemed like when we was alienated from God, but God came to restore unto us, praise God, hallelujah, that wholeness. And so today I thank God, praise the Lord, that that not only applies for that natural born Israel, but that applies to us today as that spiritual Israel. Praise God, hallelujah, that when man, praise God, should have stayed and should have done what was right according to what God had required of them, and they walked away and began to serve other gods, hallelujah. But God promised us through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that in his coming, that he would restore unto us, hallelujah, the blessings of peace and joy and gladness, hallelujah, that God would give unto us, hallelujah. And praise God, Jeremiah 32:42-44, in closing, he said, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And the field shall be brought in this land whereof ye say, it is desolate. It is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Man shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidence and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the place about Jerusalem and the city of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. So I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord.
And so he lets us to know, praise God, hallelujah, that he's going to bring back, he's going to restore, praise God, all that he allowed, hallelujah, to come up on Israel, praise God. He said, I'm going to bring you back to your homeland. I'm going to restore you back in a place with me, praise God, that you became alienated because of the sins that you walked in, praise God, and because I could not get your attention. But now I'm going to, praise God, because I have allowed, praise God, you to go through some valleys. I've allowed you to go through, praise God, some dark places. Now I'm going to bring to you the light, hallelujah, and I will restore unto you joy. Joy, praise God, peace, happiness, hallelujah, prosperity God has promised us. Not only, praise God, as I said before, to that natural Israel, but God is now restored it unto that spiritual Israel. Who is us? Amen. That, praise God, that wild olive branch that shall, praise God, be drafted in, that already drafted in. But now, praise God, I believe that God, hallelujah, gave his only begotten son that we might have a right to the tree of life. So we thank God for his abundance, hallelujah, today, of peace, joy, and happiness in the Holy Ghost. And I love, praise God, hallelujah, this word today, because God has promised us something, and he has come and fulfilled every word that he promised us. So we thank God for our audience today. We thank God for, praise God, for the, praise God, the breakthrough, praise God, hallelujah, broadcast. And we do honor the Lord, praise God, for Dr. McCoy today and to all of the panel. Praise God. I thank the Lord once again. This is Pastor Sampson. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Sampson. And we thank God for the word that the Lord put in Pastor Sampson's mouth, that word he put into our heart. We thank God for the love of God that she has towards God. We thank God for the topic, God, preservation of the life of Israel. She talked about the peace of God. She talked about the joy, those things that God was going to preserve, those things that God was going to give to his people. And I just thank God that God loves us with an everlasting love. And I thank God that even though sometimes people are going through different situations in their lives, if they just put their eyes to the hill, we're coming to hell, knowing that the help coming from God who has made the heaven and the earth. We just thank God. We're excited about what God has done and what God is doing. We're getting ready to hear from the woman of God. She's going to talk about a righteous king provided, which is taken from Jeremiah 33rd chapter, the 15th through that 16th verse. We're getting ready in the name of Jesus to welcome to the Breakthrough broadcast Pastor Mary Wilson. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Dr. McCoy, and God bless the listening audience. I'll be coming from Jeremiah 33rd chapter, piggybacking off of Pastor Sampson that came before me. I'll reread it just to put it in the ears of our listeners once again. Jeremiah 33, starting at 14, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually." If you go back in the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that Jeremiah is prophesying to a disobedient nation, a nation, a chosen children by God who have lost their identity. They have rebelled against God. They have worshiped idols. They have become a perverse nation. If you read in the book, God, he calls Jerusalem backsliders, and he calls Judah a treacherous sister to Jerusalem. And so we see that Jeremiah is prophesying to these people who have lost their identity through sin. But God, he's such a gracious and a loving God. He makes a promise to his people that he's going to send a Messiah, that he's going to send a king through the Davidic line who will reign on the throne as just and execute judgment in the earth realm. He's making a promise to them that even though they have messed up, even though they have sinned, even though they have let sin abound so much in their lives, God is making a promise to them that he can restore them to the Messiah that is to come. And it's so good because when you look at it today, we are so much like the people in this time frame. God has certainly delivered them before. He delivered their forefathers. They were in bondage. God delivered them out of it. We read about it. They were in need. God always provided a way for them. And here we see the children of those who were delivered back in bondage once again. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, beforehand, Jeremiah, he calls them a harlot. He said they have laid with other gods. He said they have turned their back. And Jeremiah keeps persuading the people, turn back to a righteous God. And they did not repent. And through all of this sin, God still makes a promise of a Messiah to come that will come through this Davidic line, that will sit as a king in the heavens and in the earth realm. Not only that, but also that will come through the Levitical priesthood that can make atonement for our sin. God makes a promise to them that even though they're messed up, even though they have gone astray, that he will bring them back into the fold once again. And that is so much like the nation today. We have so turned our backs on a gracious and a loving God. If you look at our schools, we don't want prayer in the schools anymore. Everywhere where God was, we are now trying to take him out of places where God belongs. So we are so like the nation who has turned our backs on God. And this was a promise that God made well over 2,000 years ago of a Messiah that would come to restore us back to God. And I love it because today we don't have to wait because the Messiah has already been crucified on our behalf. So now we can tap into the restoration that's already in place to get back to the place where we are supposed to be, really back to the place, and we sing about it, back to the place of Eden where we can have intimacy with God, where we can have one-on-one communication with God. Now Christ comes. He's died already. The sin has already been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we can tap into restoration. And so many of us today, restoration, redemption, salvation is waiting for us, and we have yet to tap into the promise that has already been released because the Messiah, he's already been crucified. All we have to do is open our mouth and confess. It's waiting right there, a greater lifestyle for us to tap into. But yet we sit like Jerusalem and we sit like Judah. We know the right way and we still go astray and do other things. So we are so like this nation. We know God. And America, the United States of America, we know God. We were established on the principles of God. We know him, and yet we turn our backs and we worship idols, and we've gotten into other religion. We've turned our backs. We've gotten into stuff that God never ordained for us. So we are just like these children. We're just like Jerusalem. We're just like Judah, who have gone astray, but God has made such a beautiful promise. And I think someone said it earlier, God is, he's not one that he can lie. He is not a man that he should lie. Every promise that God makes is yea and amen. And he's made a beautiful promise that we can be restored through the Messiah. And it's just hanging out there for so many to tap into, and they're not tapping into the promises that God has made. And through Christ, there are so many more promises that we can tap into. Once we give our lives to God through Jesus Christ, there are so many promises waiting for the people of God to be released over their lives, and yet we still wait, and yet we hear there are prophets, evangelists, pastors, and I think we said it earlier, so many. We do have a group that isn't living anything, but there is a holy group that's crying out to God on behalf of the people and preaching the unadulterated word of God. God, to repent and turn to God. So many, I don't know, but I am one that will cry holiness unto people for them to come unto God. There is so much waiting for the people of God to tap into, and yet we have promises hanging over our head, but because we refuse to live right, we refuse to operate under the unction of the Holy Ghost through Christ Jesus, we refuse. And if you read in the Word, the people, they went to the very places ordained for worship, ordained for sacrifices unto God. They went to those very high places, and now they're offering sacrifices to a God that is not our true God. They're offering things unto to gods that are nothing. And so they go to these high places, if you look in Jeremiah, and they're offering things that they shouldn't have been doing. But I love it, because then Jesus Christ, our ultimate Messiah, the promise, goes to the very place and destroys all of that. And now a new door of promise is opened up for us to walk through. And as it was in those days, it is still raining today. Grace and mercy still abound. So now we don't have to wait on the promise. The promise is already here. Now we wait on people to get themselves right with Christ. And if we look at these days and times, all you got to do is turn on the news. So much you see, so much is example that we are living in the end time. And who wants to wait to get yourself right? So many people say, well, I'll wait until tomorrow. But I love my mother, because she says, tomorrow ain't promised, quoting the Word of God. So we have the promise of the Messiah. But will we wait, or will we tap into what's already been released? Thank you, and back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor. Mary Wilson, for being such a blessing, for giving us what God would have us to know today. I thank God for each woman of God that came today and said, what thus says the Word of God. So God has truly imparted to these women of God, pastors, evangelists, women of God that have stood on the forefront, on the front line, to bring forth, to live a life, to let their light shine, to be an ambassador for him, to be his representative, to speak what thus says the Word of God. And that's what God wants in this day and this time, that we will be not only professing the Word of God, that we will live according to God's Word, not according to our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. I thank God for the favor of God. I thank God for his forgiveness. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God that he will wash away our sin. And here today, radio audience, we want you to know today that God, he will wash away our sin. God will restore us. God will bring us into that place that he will have us to be in. If you are a sinner, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't have not said yes to his will and yes to his way, I want to show you a different way. I want to show you Jesus Christ. You have heard the Word of God today. You have heard the women of God as they came to you from the Word of God. They didn't talk to you from times of union papers. They didn't talk to you from red books. They didn't talk to you from your favorite book, but I'm telling you that they talk to you from the Word of God. And I want you to know today, the Bible says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Word of God says that we shall be saved. Out there today, many of you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Many of you don't know whether or not where you're going to spend eternity. But I want you to know the Bible says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that you may have life and that you can have it more abundantly. Somebody needs to know where they're going to spend eternity. Somebody needs to know that they can have eternal life in him. So I want you to know today that if you just repeat after me right now, if you're not saved. I'm not talking about just giving a pastor or the preacher your hand, or I'm not talking about just talking to an evangelist. I mean, if God has came into your heart, just like Jesus talking to Nicodemus, told Nicodemus that he must be born again. I say today that you must be born again, to ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart and to save you. I don't care if you were shacking up last night. I don't care if you were walking the street as a prostitute. I don't care if you were a liar, a homemother. I believe that God wants to forgive you for your sin and your transgressions. Lord, even as the people of God, as the listeners hear the word of God today, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to forgive them for their sins. I see God to come into their heart. I see God to save, deliver them. I see God to make them free. For the word of God says, who the Son has made free is free indeed. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, save them. God, even right now, cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for touching every individual today. We thank you, God, for coming into their heart. We thank you, God, for saving them. God, even right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, those that are sick in their bodies, God, we pray healing right now. God, we send the word of healing, God. God, every place where there's infirmity, every place there's sickness, Lord God, God, we send the word of God even right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that God to touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And this we proclaim healing, we proclaim deliverance being done, God, even right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And those that are saved, we know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now because you have given your life unto him. We thank you for tuning in today to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We again would like to thank our panel. We thank God for Ms. Helen Hooper. We thank God for Pastor Gladys Sampson, Pastor Mary Wilson, and Pastor Francina Shanks. Of course, I'm your host, Dr. Mary McCoy. I want to invite you to please join us on next Saturday as we again celebrate the Lord, as we again go before him on his throne, that God can give you more of him, more of his anointing, his power, his spirit, and more of his word. Please join us on next Saturday at the same time. God bless you, and may the blessings of God be upon you now and forever.